You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the cool again, stupid.
All right, come on! It actually happened! Oh, everybody here was waiting for me for so long. We are here! Come on.
We are back, folks.
Cooligans, you know who this lady is. Right now, I mean, what? The Secretary of Defense of Blangola.
Yeah, also education, maybe?
Oh, my God, my
maybe?
Volume is on. Here we go. We are super professional.
I think I'm in charge of education and defense.
Education, defense, and also helping me with makeup removal. Ladies and gentlemen, Christine Kubo, everybody.
A pleasure to be here, as always, truly. I'm hyped.
Very nice.
Very, very, very excited to be here.
Yeah,
in
we
a very
need
monotone.
You to be,
no,
because I'm.
It's chill. We're good. We
I'm
got
lacking
this.
All the energy in the world because today has not gone at all how it was supposed to go. Of course, we got Mikelito in the building.
Yes, sir. How are we doing? How are we doing? Back with another live week of shows. Exciting. Exciting.
Right?
They missed us last week, I'm sure.
I hope y'all did. I hope y'all sat there waiting and be like, no, I think they're showing up in 2 hours, as they usually do. Obviously, thank you so much to, you know, Daddy who pays the bills.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Dan. You know what I mean? Are we done fighting Stephen A. Smith?
I think for the moment.
Yeah, we good? All right, let us know who else we have to, you know, put on blast on this show for the family.
We don't have too many enemies on the Levitard show right
no,
now.
Right? There's very rarely ops. I'm here ready to slide. We got baby onesies being delivered to the studio. We got shiesties being delivered to the studio. We're ready. We're ready. You got ops. Let us know, Dan. You know who followed me yesterday for the first time?
Who?
Mike Ryan Ruiz.
Wow, let's go.
And I said, really? Now? And he put blame it on the algorithm. And I wrote back, Mike, the algorithm Ruiz. You feel me? Because I blame you, bro.
He didn't even try with that excuse.
No, blame the algorithm.
Yo,
hit the
button
with your thumb.
Blame Elon Musk, bro.
Bro.
I'm not, it's a bad one, but I'm not saying I won't use it in the future. Yeah. I'd be like, it was the algorithm. Yeah. I didn't know you existed. My bad.
One of my favorite, you know, they every once in a while you'll see like texts or, you know, I guess a Hinge or some shit thing, like communications that have gone wrong. So one was a girl saying, sorry, I never got back to you. I was in the shower. And like, I wrote back for 2 weeks. And then the next one's, hello? You ain't getting a response back.
That was you and Mike Ryan?
Yeah, that was Mike Ryan, bro. You're getting catfished by Mike Ryan, the algorithm, Ruiz. Thank you, everybody, for sticking with us. This is, what show is this? We talk about this one. What's a Prem Show?
Premier League.
Prem Show.
Monday's Premier League.
Yeah.
Is that what day it is? Cool.
Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool.
Guys, I'm waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. it's getting long.
He's waking up when I'm going to sleep, yeah. So.
But my wife and Christian have two very similar experiences, which is they're being woken up in the middle of the night by somebody crying. And also, I poop my pants, okay? It's not going well. But we're here, okay? And we've had to watch a lot of soccer. And look, the first thing we have to talk about,
it's constant, really. There's been way too much football happening.
We have to talk about this, right? Because there's something you and I both have in common, right? One, we bad bitches, right? Two.
Tell me more.
Right? We happen to be Arsenal fans, and it was going so good for so long this season. And then we've hit a little bit of a rough patch. But I still believe. I've never said we were going to win the league. Are you one of these people? Or are you one of these people that openly admitted that we were going to win the league?
Hell yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You out there?
Yeah, I'm still out in these streets, still
really?
Saying that we're winning this league.
So you still feel confident?
They really, I mean, I'm confident in this squad. We have a good team. We have the best side that we've had in seasons that I think we can actually get this done. With that being said, I don't know why they want to play with my emotions the last couple right. matches. I don't.
It's like they spoke to your ex, bro, right? Play with her
Everyone
emotions.
Inevitably does. Why do you want to ruin my life? But yeah, I don't. It's really perplexing, especially that the performances are just not on the same level week over week. I guess maybe the last two draws were, but just for what reason?
Right. We scored two, we give up two.
Way overconfident a week ago, clowning on West Ham.
Bro.
Just because they're West Ham. Like, let's be real.
It's West Ham. Why? Why?
And then what? Then what? Universe, why?
Bro, the season's going to come down to the game at City, which I've been saying for weeks. I've been hedging my bets. I've not been fully committed to the idea that we're winning. I've been clowning.
So we
Tottenham.
Talked about this the last time that I was on, right? And the magic number is 95 points to right. say, like, it's a wrap. We got this. It's in the bag. Mm-hmm. No way we can fumble it. And if we win every match, that would have been the case. Now, the fact that we drew two makes me nervous. I'm not going to lie. Like, it shouldn't be the case. It shouldn't be this challenging with these sides. I knew all along, even with that caveat of like 95 points, if we win every match, then like we're good to go.
Right.
That Man City on, was it 29th we're playing mm-hmm. them?
Would
26th would be the decider, right? Right. Like that's going to be a pivotal
match. Even if we had won this match, that's still probably the decider.
Right.
We just have all more in. Of a cushion.
Right. And I would yeah. prefer the cushion, okay?
Yes.
I don't want to erode that where we're now literally
You're gonna
sweating
You're
going to
get some wild DMs
praying.
Now that you said that, just so you know.
More than usual. Yeah, I will be in church, okay?
Yeah.
And like, I haven't been there in a long time. Sorry, Mom. But yeah. that will be the thing that pushes me in. I will be literally dragging out a vat of holy water. I don't care. We're anointing everything.
For someone who isn't an Arsenal fan, we got Miguelito, who's unfortunately a Chelsea fan. By the way, I am La Lucha. Send us a super chat. So you spent $2 to say, spending $2 just to laugh at your optimism. Ha, ha, ha. Okay. Well, thank you. we'll take the guap.
We'll take the two.
Alexa's operating on Blangolan time zone. Okay, yes. Look, we're here. That's all that matters. And by the way, tomorrow, for those of you listening, you have no idea what I'm talking about. I was supposed to be here at 1. Then it got pushed to 3. Thank you, everyone. And then I was like, yo, when I said 3, your boy meant 3:30. Because it turns out I forgot my keys at home. Because everyone's like, we'll be at the studio at 3. And I was like, I wonder how they're going to get it. I wonder how I'm going to get it. So now here I am.
You and I both know we could have broken in here.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
We know how to pick locks.
There's just a door. There's a door on top of the couch. Whatever, we hear. Smoke bomb. Yeah, I'm going to the Arsenal bar for that one so I could celebrate or cry with my peoples, said Crimson Pizza, which I think is all part of it. But I do want to hear from and unfortunately, there's a Chelsea fan in the room. The bug spray just doesn't work. He keeps coming back. Miguelito, what are we thinking about the draw for Arsenal? Where did you feel before that, and where are you now?
I was really thinking Arsenal was going to win the league. And I'm not, it's definitely not out of the question. I still think it is going to come down to that Man City game. And to a certain
I've
extent,
always liked him.
Yeah.
Miguelito
gets a pass, bro.
I'm rational. I'm a Chelsea fan, a passionate Chelsea fan, but I'm fairly rational. I think right. most people will give me credit. But I still think Arsenal could win the league. It's going to come down to that Man City match. It's just really about the form going into that match. You know what I mean? Arsenal was flying so high. Like, I don't know how many unbeaten they were on their incredible run. But it was way more than, you know, a typical Arsenal season. And now
I mean, we're still unbeaten in 11, but two draws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. I mean, certainly not the Invincibles, but I'll take what I can get.
The Invincibles had a lot of draws.
Okay. Right, but they didn't have any losses.
You know who else got a lot of draws? Me, baby. All right? In the underwear drawer.
Wow, wow.
You know? Your boy really be doing the box of briefs, you know? Just like the Invincibles. look, if we draw 2-2 against Liverpool, you kind of get it.
Yeah.
It's Liverpool. They may not be the same Liverpool as last season, but they got the goods. 2-2 against West Ham, who's fighting for relegation, that wins things. But I want to offer you a little bit of a conspiracy theory or a different way of looking at it.
Ba-bomb, hit the sounder. Right? We got to hit the sounder.
I'm ready. Hold on. Lay it on me.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm ready.
Remember when Liverpool was fighting with City for the title, and in the last second they let City sneak back in and win it. And I remember Klopp doing that weird thing he does. You know, the slack jaw.
Yeah.
You know? Like you've been you've been buying, you've been texting a Colombian dude at 2 a.m. You know what I mean? Your jaw is a little slacked. That I think you guys know what I'm talking about. You're buying empanadas. That's what I'm talking about. You just rode a white horse.
That's all I do at weird hours.
Right? That's an empanada time. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I remember him staring off in that final match of the season, knowing he let it slip. And the next season, they got some more ammo, right? They got some better players. And then they came out and they absolutely destroyed the league and even looked good in Champions League. Now, I offer this. Am I delusional, or can we be seeing a repeat of that? Can this, if Arsenal do let this slip, they were so close, does this sort of solidify that they will have the drive and determination and Stan Kroenke will open up his purse and give Mikel Arteta and Edu the money he needs, or they need, I should say, to go out and buy those few pieces they're missing? Because they're clearly missing a few pieces.
Perhaps. Are they doing it for the extra romantic story where it wasn't
right? There's
locked
no all
up,
or nothing
right?
this year. Like, just win it.
Right. Like,
what are you doing?
We don't have Amazon in the dressing room. Forget it. Right?
Bezos box ain't coming no more.
But
bro.
No, yeah, of course. They already have feelers out. Again, it seems like they're turning their gaze toward Vlahovic, which is interesting once again.
What are we doing?
I don't know, but I think that we're not down and out that bad. It's just a matter of figuring out. They looked like they just got complacent, I'm going to be honest. This last match especially. The penalty was just silly and also a bit unlucky, though I really hate attributing things to being unlucky. He went in, he clipped him, he did.
Yeah.
They got the call, they converted the pen. The next goal, they just caught them sleeping. And yeah. It was obvious, right?
Dude, like, it's like he did the Odegaard goal on
right.
us.
It was like he lofted that ball up and it was like, oh, well, nobody had even gotten back yet. There just was no urgency. And I understand, again, it's West Ham, right? You want to not take them as seriously as maybe another side, like Newcastle or a City. But you can't be that lax mentally or physically. And the worst part is they gave them the confidence to keep hammering back. That you saw them start to ride high. They start pressing more. Arsenal just kind of falling and caving into themselves. Like, if anything I can say that was good, like, Tierney looked better.
Yeah, but this is the issue, right? So at the beginning of the match, Zinchenko pulls up. Well, I guess he didn't really pull up, but he spoke to the physios, all we know, because he didn't look like he was straining from all the reports. But it turns out he felt a little bit of something in his groin, so they pulled him for precaution. Tierney comes in. Doesn't look bad. Rob Holding doesn't look bad. Mm-hmm. But it's evidently clear that Arteta's system doesn't really function. And yes, Partey was relaxed and, you know, he had a bad
second half. He made a mistake.
Yeah.
Right. He had errors.
Yeah.
And it happens. Not everybody's going to have an unblemished match.
But it is evident that we're not really playing our game without Saliba and without Zinchenko.
Right. And that's the one thing that exposed our major deficiencies right now and going forward is they do not have the depth. Also, with back injuries, who knows what's going on with Saliba?
You don't have to tell me, Saliba. Just a couple of athletes with bad backs.
peak performance.
What I keep getting told by my wife is that a back problem is stress related. And then even if you don't really say that anything stresses you, your body still absorbs it. And it's in your back. And you got to take care of yourself. And I'm worried about you, Alexis. So I just take out the word Alexis and put Saliba.
Saliba. Just maybe write him that a letter. Write him a little email. Yeah. Bang it out. But even
I would
that,
like for you to get a good shower of sleep.
Even that with Zinny, like groin injuries, especially if it's actually
Did
a hernia.
Did you say grin injury?
Groin injury?
Oh, they said grin injury, which is what I have from smiling so much at my own jokes.
Groin. I will overly pronounce it now. Groin. No, with groin injuries, they are also difficult to heal. So if he has the start of perhaps an athletic hernia, that's a bigger problem. He'll be out for much longer, and it's
Wait,
painful.
There's an athletic hernia and a non-athletic mm-hmm. hernia? Obviously, I would get the non-athletic one. What's, yeah. what's the difference?
Yeah. Like, it impacts basically all your hip flexors. Oh, my God. I can't speak today.
Right.
I need to start drinking.
Now you're talking about the groin. Yes. Oh, yeah. Which we should probably get to pretty
Cheers.
Soon. Well, why don't we just talk about it? Because you know what I need to do is I need to relax. I need to chill. And I don't know how you relax and chill. But this reminds me, you know, Look, guys, I've been waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? I'm working crazy hours. And the truth is that I need to chill. And a couple of weeks ago...
I feel more chill already.
A couple of weeks ago, we started getting some rough notes from CBS where they were like, hey, you know that thing that you say you do well? Have you thought about doing it differently? And, you know, when I got home, I needed to relax. And what I did was this right here.
Oh,
to a nice, cold, crisp, Coors Light. It was just a dream. And, you know, I don't know when you hang out with your friends. I don't want to think about what it is that I'm about to drink. I don't want to sit here and go like, oh, but is it this? Is it that? I just want to pull up a nice, cold, crisp Coors Light. And the coolest thing is this can actually tells you right on it that it's the one. It's a nice, crisp Coors Light. It's beautiful. Are you enjoying it?
It's delicious.
I don't know.
I think my speech will improve drastically in a moment.
I don't know why I'm using this Light FM voice.
I kind of like it, honestly.
Do you really?
Cold as the Rockies.
Should we just do the rest of the podcast with you guys doing those voices?
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, as I was trying to say, with groin injuries, it affects your hip flexors. So if you happen to have a very powerful kick or you're trying to, which of course they all do because they're professional athletes, it can cause more damage the longer that it goes on. And it's excruciating pain.
It sounds like it's excruciating pain. If I was an athlete in any way, shape, or form, I would tell you I hurt my back just coming here. So, you know, not necessarily the one. But just in case, if you have a groin injury and you want to relax, I would suggest opening up a
definitely
nice fresh
Coors Light.
Coors Light,
just
okay?
Pop it open on the sideline. It's fine.
Dude, you know, enjoy it. It's Coors Light. It's the beer that's literally made to chill. Okay, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when it tells you when the beer is cold. So you ain't even got to think about it. So as you waddle over there with your super athletic groin injury, and I waddle over there with my regular non-athletic groin injury, I know that I could grab a nice cold core one, and it's fun. It's the perfect companion for all things chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, huh? Isn't that nice, right? So when would Coors Light fit into your plans to chill? Every damn time. Okay, so when you choose to chill, pair your plans with an ice cold Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. That's CoorsLight.com/COOLIGANS. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I'm so proud of you. It's very crisp. Right?
Look at that. Seamless ad read yet again. Cooligans undefeated, never lost.
Never lost, bro.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
Open a Coors, it'll help your back. It's already helping. Thank you for saying that.
It's helping things. Don't worry. We're good.
So, I guess final question.
Bum, bum, bum.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being absolutely no questions asked.
8. I'm just kidding. Go ahead, ask
Will
me.
Arsenal win the Premier League?
8.
6.
God.
This man is just hating, okay?
I'm gonna go 7.
Chelsea lost to Brighton and he's upset. Bro, that's what that 6 was.
Let's be honest. Are Chelsea even playing still, bro?
I wish they weren't, bro.
Mob came up and was like, Pulisic is in. And I'm like, yep, I think that's about all the news we're getting out of Chelsea.
Yeah, this ain't good. I do want to say the winner of the year. Winner of the year. Some people say Bukayo Saka is the Premier League player of the year. Had a rough, you know, missed the penalty, but I get it. Right? Some people say that Ollie Watkins is having an incredible year. I say the year, the top year. Christian, right? Had a baby, right? Me, bad back, and a job that pays the bills even more, right? A lot of wins. The number one win, Shakhtar Donetsk. Wow. Pulled the bag
I thought
out.
You were going to say hanging out with me, but like, okay,
oh,
fine.
Yeah. Shakhtar. That's also win there.
Shakhtar, of course.
Real quick, CGI me, AI me going back and saying that. Come on. Shakhtar Donetsk, getting that bag off of Mudryk?
Fair.
They fleeced Chelsea. At least as of right now. And there's been a lot of like notes coming out from like the president of Shakhtar who said, oh, when I sold him to Chelsea, I told him it was going to be a project. Bro, did you just scheme? Did you scheme us so bad?
Like, of course. All of his PR people were up all night with that. They're like, how do we spin this?
Yeah, that's like when you buy a used car and the guy's like, you got to warm it up for like 20, 30, 40, maybe 3 hours.
As I was saying, in the year 2023, I always wanted a 1998 Dodge Neon.
So here's the key. This is a metal hanger. Right. trust me, it's fine. If a cop stops you, I would suggest running. we got sevens, fours from I Am La Lucha. Crimson Pizza says seven. Lex says, okay, I need to finish my course. Then if we're at seven. There's a lot of people putting in the chat what their number is. Next time, read it in Dee's voice.
I can do that.
by the way, there's nothing. You've met my wife. She does not sound like
that. No, she doesn't.
At all.
She sounds like a perfectly normal, lovely human being that doesn't sound like a cartoon.
No, but I love
Simpsons voice.
Every once in a while, she'll do the thing of like that. You know what would be a good idea? And it's something she wants me to do, but doesn't have the heart to tell me. She's like, what if we ate salads today? You know, every day, you know?
Forever. Yeah. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Yeah. Forever.
She's like, how about you do a fucking setup? You know? She's like, think about it. So, yeah. Well, that's D. Shouts to D. By the way, it was her birthday this week.
Oh, happy birthday, D.
So her birthday, thank you, everyone. Wednesday was her birthday. On Tuesday was the launch of the CBS show. And she was rushing to get to work to watch it at 7 a.m. Aww. When it aired. And almost got in a car accident. Her Uber had to swerve off the lane, almost crashed into another car, and she had to brace herself, and then she hurt her arm and her chest. So she was in the emergency room, not being able to watch the show. So I text her after I was done. I'm like, what'd you think? And she goes, I'm sure you did great. And I was like, I'm sure you did great. What the fuck are you talking about?
Where's my supportive spouse?
I'm like, you didn't
watch
it?
To be fair, that's a better excuse than Mike's algorithm one. She could have said,
that's true.
Babe, it was the algorithm.
She's like, sorry, I'm just hanging out with your absent father, not caring about your career, is the only other thing. In my head, I'm like, where the hell is she? You know? And then she's like, I'm in the emergency room. And the next text was in all caps, I am okay. Because I sprinted out of a post-production meeting. Walked out of a post-production meeting.
Very briskly,
thank you.
Didn't crease your kicks, you strutted.
I actually did lock the ankle. You got to lock the ankles. You feel me? That was day ones. You can't. But she is fine. Thank you very much. But she did have to get worked up for, because her heart went into an irregular heartbeat.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's wild. Scary. Well, I'm glad she's okay.
She is perfectly fine. You know what she told me?
This has been a big week for the Guerreros.
This is very D. You know, we're hanging out on Sunday, 4 days after her birthday. And she's like, this year no one gave me a cake with a candle in it. And I was like, que coño. I had a beautiful dinner planned, and now I'm kind of like Googling bakery when she's not looking. Because I wanted to see if there was one near me.
Texting the restaurant, please get me a cake.
Get a fucking cake with a candle in it. You have no idea. 4 days she's been waiting. She was in the ER,
Yo, I would have pulled up.
Bro,
you could have texted me, and I would have found you a cake.
And actually, we're in your neighborhood.
Would have found you a cake.
But I remembered a place in Flushing, Queens that's like super cool. Shouts to Gongan. You guys saved the day. But it is one of the coolest. A chef friend of mine recommended it. It was the pastry chef. A Korean dude owns it. He was the pastry chef of this super high-end restaurant. And now him and his partner opened up their own place. And it's like super creative. It's going to become a wine bar at the end of the month. It is so dope.
That's why. Flushing is legit like a good spot to just go wander around.
It's old New York.
Yeah.
When people are like, I miss New York. Dude, go to Flushing.
Go to Flushing.
That's what New York used to be. I felt like I was in old Chinatown. It was fire. And the place was great. And my wife cried. She loved it. And she said it was perfect. And they put a candle, and they even played a Korean birthday song for her on the speakers.
Bang. What a birthday for
Jesus. Husband of the year, even if she had to ask for her.
And she even goes, this is, I think, the coolest place you've ever brought me to. I'm like, bro, I took you to restaurants in Paris. I took you to restaurants in London. I took you to restaurants all over the city. And you like a place with little fake mushrooms on the cake? But hey, shouts to me. Good husband. I do want to talk about, what was topic number two that we discussed?
Aston Villa,
who've had an incredible run as of late.
Unai Emery FC, pulling through.
They are proving a lot of people wrong.
I feel like he is that guy, though. He is a manager that does tend to do that.
But didn't you feel a little bit like him getting back in the league was like Moyes? You were like, yo, this is not going to be a good look.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you there. I kind of was like, wow, you're really going to hedge your bets there. And yes, that is a little bit of an emotional inflection from our brief time with him with Arsenal.
Right. Which, look, I do think he was sacked a little early, but I think it was the right move because now we have
I think it was the right move. I think that with all things, there's growing pains. I don't think that we had the appetite for that kind of risk and trusting the process at that point is what I'll say. Right. But with that, you know, we joked, you know, Europa League king and otherwise he's seen success. Right. He obviously
stayed going to the finals of the Europa.
The thing that sticks out for me is team over team. There's always a player that steps up and speaks so highly of him in terms of encouragement and just developing them. So I think that there's something there for like for him just as a manager that can't be taught, right? It's not one of those things that you can distill.
Right. So is he one of those managers you think that's better at this level? You know what I'm talking about? Like, yo, you really ain't for the stars. You ain't no Real Madrid manager.
Like like, so you're looking at the big club.
Right.
Right. Like, you know what? Like, I probably would.
Oh, Aston Villa ain't no big club.
Right.
You kind of dusty.
But
to
if
be
you're going to put him somewhere mid table or worse where he's got to fight for it, I think he's got the moxie to do it.
Right. He can juice them boys up.
I don't know. But then again, right, like, so in general, right, even outside of football, it's a lot easier to strive for a certain benchmark of success. It's a lot harder once you've gotten it to replicate it, I think, right? Because everybody's going to expect more and more of you. And so with that, like, I think that some managers get hemmed up in themselves. I think for him, he's very good at getting, you know, the struggling up above board. He did an okay job with Arsenal and... It's just, I don't think
it
that
wasn't
he's,
for him.
I don't think that he's the guy to take a typically top four club and keep them up there, if not win the league. I think he's very mid table, maybe lower half of the table where he can get them to thrive.
Like how well he did with Sevilla.
PSG, that was a disaster. Like when he was a complete disaster.
I just, maybe it's a mental thing. I don't know.
Maybe it's the things he says, you know, can you draw a heart and a brain holding him?
It also could be a matter of those very specific front offices with
supporting
him. Right. Like,
right.
I feel like they're less inclined to give you their undying support. Even if they pursue you aggressively, it's like, I got you. You know.
Yeah, I get it. Maybe the big time just isn't right for him. You know, he's someone who likes to inspire. Because Ollie Watkins, his career is absolutely insane. First of all, can you guess how old Ollie Watkins is? I was completely shocked. So you're probably going to be wrong.
I feel like I get like ages so screwed up for certain players because I age some people so much.
I thought this guy was 24.
You're 45, right? And they're like, Christine, he's 22. Yeah. And I'm like, whoops.
And you're like, can I see an ID? And the guy's like, I'm in a wheelchair.
Is he 28?
Close, 27. I thought he was 22 years old.
Yeah, I thought he was a kid too.
But that's only because his career in the Premier League hasn't been that long. He was at Brentford from 2017 to 2020, which is, you know, Brentford takes a chance. I didn't know this about Brentford. They don't have an academy. Did you know
really?
That?
Really? No, I didn't know
that.
They got
rid of their academy because they said, we're spending too much money developing players, so we're going to have a B team.
It's a very interesting
right? But trajectory. It's money ball, the way they did it.
Of course.
They said, we're going to go and get players that we know have a high XG, but no, or at least for strikers.
XG for the data nerds.
Right?
Honestly, XG meant nothing for years to most people, and they're like, great.
Now it's all anyone cares about.
Right.
Because they saw the movie Moneyball.
I feel like either way, like you can fall in either camp and still manage to scout someone properly that you think has talent. But that also points to the fact that like most footballers peak at 28.
Right.
So it would make sense that he's seeing this kind of success around now-ish.
But here's the thing.
If he was developed properly.
Brentford got rid of the eye test. They said, stop it with the eye. Oh, they passed the eye test. None of that. We need to see data.
Mm.
Right. I was talking to the guy who scouted Gideon Zalalem. I don't know if you remember him as an Arsenal player. Didn't work out. Ended up at NYCFC. Now I believe he's...
He was in the Netherlands last time we checked, I believe.
Yeah,
we looked this up a few weeks ago.
We brought this up. Yeah, that's right. He's Den Donker.
Yeah, one of those teams.
You know, Bosch something. Bro, there's a dragon on it. It's not a great team.
There's a dragon. Go
Dragon!
There's
a dragon on the logo.
If you're watching, homie, shouts to you. Love Gideon Zalalem. But, you know, whatever. One of the reasons that they scouted him, they liked him, is because he went into a rondo, which is where five players pass the ball, try to keep it away from the guy in the middle, and he never once got put in the middle. That's how good he was.
Hmm.
So it's like, okay, that's what caught your eye, not you know, he, you know, like American sports are like, he jumps this high, he runs this fast.
Yeah.
In soccer, it's like, buddy, he was never, you know, monkey in the middle, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird stat. Brentford's enough of that.
Yes, but counter. So with Rondo's, what you're going to see more specifically is how good their close control is, how well they know to move, create space, and other, like, there's a lot in Rondo's that you wouldn't think is there, and you can also see their vision, what they actually think.
Is that enough to put a player in?
Do
the Arsenal
I think
Academy?
So? Probably not. I think I'd probably be a bit tougher as a scout.
I'd be a great scout, by the way.
I'd be a probably ruthless scout, and I'd probably also miss out on a lot of really good talent that's promising because I'd always be looking for the sure thing. I'm a little risk averse. But yeah, like, I think it's interesting to take that specific.
Right. Your boss would be like, Christine, you've not presented us with any players. And you're like, no one's fucking perfect.
Okay? And when very okay. Yeah. He's mid, bro.
Nick Red said, Dendonker, Bosch, or a dragon? Who beats 10,000 lions? I love the chat. You'll never let me forget the one time I did the show high on meds. Okay.
I think that's really what they show up for. They're like, we want to see Alexis at his worst.
Yeah, they love it when I'm completely flying on empty. This guy went from Exeter City to Brentford. Exeter City at the time was a non-league club.
Mm.
So, you know, he's had some, you know, Ollie Watkins has had some time to marinate.
So an actual farm team.
Legitimately. Yeah. Exeter City. I can't imagine it's actually a city. By the way, I think there's two dragons on this thing. So that cannot be good.
They might fiery. Be the 10,000 lions then. The two dragons.
Yeah. Can an Exeter City? They're in League One now. But they're not, obviously not, these aren't the greatest clubs. So Brentford goes out and finds these high value. But there's a question of, can they do it? And I think to some degree, you could say that Ollie Watkins has had moments of brilliance. And there's been moments where you're like, wow, this could be that player. But it hasn't been sustained. Very similar to like Callum Wilson, where you're like, yes, a really good striker, but I haven't seen any consistency. He might be proving right now that he might be that guy.
I think with players like that, it also tends to be a time and place thing. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, if they are not in the squad that they're in presently, would they be doing what they're doing?
Right, if I'm not getting service.
Right.
Yeah.
It depends on, you know, the squad built around you, and otherwise, are you that guy? Are you the guy that the project is built around? Are you part of the project? How are they using you? And, you know, some results are going to be obviously optimal when you find that kind of special formula for what you're hoping to. But yeah, I mean, it's nice to see a player that has the potential finally like hit.
Right.
Hit
Even though it's at his peak, but he might still have one good contract in him. But here's his stats. This is for the calendar year of 2023. So since January, the most goals in the Premier League is 11 goals. That's Ollie Watkins. The most goals and assists in the Premier League in the calendar year of 2023 is 14. That's Ollie Watkins. The most clean sheets in the Premier League in the calendar year of 2023 is 8. That's Aston Villa. The most points won in the Premier League in 2023 is 32, and that is also Aston Villa. Is this a moment in time, you think? Or is this really how good Unai Emery is, that he's got a guy like Ollie Watkins playing at his peak? He's got this young kid, Jacob Ramsey, who I want to look up his age, 21 years old, absolutely playing incredible. He's got this team banging on all cylinders, and they barely have a 10 because Buendia stinks.
I think Ramsey actually gave a few quotes that were in support of like how highly he thinks of Unai Emery.
Really?
Yeah, within, I think, either earlier today or yesterday that I had seen. So I think it's all of it, honestly. I think that it's Unai Emery's impact on some of these players and, yeah, time and place. I think if you're going to get certain players, like I speak about Conte in this way. Obviously, Conte has seen more success than Emery, but Conte is able to take very mediocre players and make them great, right? And there are
outside
certain
of
managers. Yes, there's only so much that you can do with Tottenham unless you are an actual sorcerer. If you're not
Everybody
a sorcerer, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe they should have burned sage before they hired Conte. But there are limits to everything, I guess, in this world. But Conte, mid to great to good, can always kind of get the best out of players. They always rise to the level for him. And I feel like Emery has the ability to do that, and he has. And I think you're seeing that with some of these players, but like Ollie especially, because, you know, time and place. Time, place, manager, all of the stars aligned for him.
It doesn't hurt that, like you said, you have a player who's in their peak at the moment. And it seems like 27 is when players start to be like, oh, yeah, this is my legacy.
Yeah.
I can't keep going to the club. I can't keep doing this. I actually have to train a little bit harder.
At least outwardly. Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, don't catch me with the paparazzi. Yeah, they're still in the
club. I heard players will have friends send them photos of like the angle point of their legs watching TV, right? Mm-hmm. And then they'll post that while they're at the club to make it look like they're home.
Oh, yeah. We could go into like stories on stories on stories. I mean,
bro, we're going to have to do a Cooligans After Dark because I know you know some stuff.
Leaving your phone with your boy or your friend, uh-huh, that's like where you said you'd be because you happen to always share your location, but like take your burner out. There's, I'm afraid to divulge tips and tricks, essentially, which would it be to like the civilians?
You would have a Sucio 101 is what you'd be doing right there. People would be taking notes.
All I'm saying is you would be much wiser, but not everybody can handle the knowledge.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot of responsibility. Yeah. If you knew what Christine Kuppel knew, it's a lot.
We'll put it on the Patreon. Only they get it.
Yeah, we got to do a no cap recap. A F-Boy 101.
After dark.
Yeah, an F-Boy 101, an advanced F-Boy class, because there's quite a bit there. Do you think, last question I'll ask about Aston Villa, do you think they finish in the top four? Which, can you pull up the top? Yeah, go to the top. If you see there, they are currently in sixth, 31 games played, 50 points. Tottenham sliding backwards, they're at 53. Newcastle seemingly not playing well. Obviously, they've won four of their last five, but a tough loss against Aston Villa. They potentially could be picked off. 50 points, 59 I think is too far. I don't think they'll get to second. Mm-mm. But potentially third, I think, is in play for Aston Villa. At the very least, Europa would be perfect because it's Unai Emery.
I think they'll end up with the Europa League slot.
You think they end up at fifth?
Maybe fifth.
Okay, yeah. So who in
the
top?
Who do I think will get bounced?
Yeah, who gets plucked? Liverpool, you're saying, who currently are beating Leeds 5-1.
I feel like Liverpool could hammer back. I don't see them staying that far down in the table.
I don't think they finish in the top five.
Liverpool. I don't think so either, but I think they have a chance. Like, we're too late in the season at this point where anybody can slip up above them,
right,
and they could kind of just garner better positioning in the table.
What are Aston Villa's remaining matches?
Spurs can always...
Yeah.
Spurs are harder as we speak. They are, and they've been. I'm just saying, like, they can go Spursy their hardest, and we'll see them drop.
Okay, so they've got a match against Brentford. We were just talking about Brentford, Ollie Watkins.
I don't see, like,
that's
I know
winnable.
United's been very touch and go all season, but I feel like they're on an upswing. And
okay,
despite the fact that they have injuries,
no
for sure.
No Lisandro Martinez, which is
right,
big.
No Lisandro Martinez, Rashford injured.
Yeah.
Again, acknowledging all of that. I still think that with that sort of transition that they've had, mm-hmm, I think they're in a much better position than they've been, especially the beginning of the season. Like, things have been bad for them and then good and then bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like they've kind of gotten their hit their stride a little bit where they're kind of figuring out how to steer out of the bad.
You trust United more than their own fans.
I know. I don't know. What is my deal? No, I have way too many United fan friends. I don't know. I just want to hurt their feelings.
I need to start purging. So they got Brentford. Do you think Aston Villa win at Brentford? I think they can.
I think so, yeah.
I think they can win at Fulham.
Mm-hmm.
United, which you brought up, might be a tough one for them. That's a big match. That's a bigger match
for United. I think that'll be a big match. I think that's going
to
end up going to United.
If
Villa win that, I think it'll be an upset.
Then Wolves, which I'll give to Aston Villa. And then you have what I consider to be their toughest run. You've got Tottenham, away at Liverpool, Anfield, that goes to Liverpool.
Uh-huh.
Tottenham is a toss-up. Away at Liverpool, that goes to Liverpool. I really, very rarely do I bet against Liverpool when they're playing at Anfield. And then you got Brighton, Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, Newcastle's a friendly. Brighton is the last one.
Brighton, yeah. And I think Brighton could go either way.
Brighton could go either way as well, but I think at that point in the season, Brighton won't be fighting for a top five spot, where I think Aston Villa will. So I give that one to Aston Villa. Very well could see Aston Villa finish in fourth place. Aston Villa in Champions League would be
wild,
huge.
Pretty crazy, especially if they got there ahead of Newcastle, who just spent all this money, Saudi takeover, whatever, and Villa somehow ends up in the Champions League.
And Eddie Howe's been doing a great job.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, but that's tough against.
It would be kind
of
fun to see
loss.
Dibu in Champions League.
It would be nice.
Chaos.
I think Europa League would be a good place for them to start, because then too, like, if they do well in Europa League next year, they can advance.
They go to
Champions
League
after, yeah. Because
you know
Emery's going to win it. So.
Yeah. Unai Emery's very good at Europa League.
Yeah, he'll get to the final. United gets
He's
top four.
He's got his own little roadmap in his head that's like, okay.
Hugo Garcia believes United gets top four. I don't know, with Lisandro Martinez and no Marcus Rashford, tough. Relegation battle is really, really heating up. Leeds, as we're talking now, is currently losing 5-1. So if you're listening to this tomorrow.
Yeah, Forest slid a bunch over the last couple weeks.
Forest has what, 35 new players?
Yeah.
How do you do this?
I mean, they did what they should have done, in my opinion, because they did have a lot of contracts that were coming up as they were getting promoted, right? Mm-hmm. You can't, yes, in theory, it's very romantic to think that you can carry on with the side that you managed to get promoted with. It's just not realistic if you expect to actually continue to climb the table and not end up relegated a second time.
Right.
Right.
I think that one of the biggest mistakes was buying another defender.
I think seeing them up like as high as 12th, like over the trajectory of this season was kind of wild. Right. Where I was like, look at them go.
Yeah,
like
their noses
were
bleeding.
Wildly impressed.
Okay. They've never been that high.
But you know, like now is the time where it's like men or mice, you know,
right.
And they've sunk into 18th. Which
Wait, men or mice, yeah, you said? Yeah. Is that a phrase?
Men
or did you make that up?
Mice or men? Men or mice? No.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
All right. I'll let you have it. Never heard of it. Again, English is my second language, folks.
Blangolan is the first language.
Blangolan. Yeah,
Ben Skolnick said, Sucios FC, the newest expansion team in the Blangolan Premier League. we've got a Sucio 11. We need high power showers for the Sucio 11. It looks like Southampton is done. They're cooked. Unfortunately, it looks like Leicester's cooked.
Yeah. I feel Leicester bad for Leicester.
I feel so bad for Leicester.
They're one of the teams that everyone's rooted for. Since 2015-16, they've really become like a fan favorite, even when they've been down. And now just to see them so far down, it's tough.
They became a fan favorite. They beat Arsenal for the Premier League title.
Maybe not to Arsenal fans.
Yeah. Remember when Danny Welbeck got the header off the top of the fade at Leicester City at the King Power Stadium. Yeah. I believed in that moment. I believed in that moment more than I ever have this season. And of course,
do you give a little shimmy when somebody drops a fiver? Like what's
Do I have to take off my jacket and wave it and then put it back on? Matt Leffler gave us $5 so he could say, love the show. You know what, Matt? Love you back, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Love you.
Big smooches. That was kind.
Just everyone who uses the super chat. People listening right now are like, wow, how are people giving the money?
It's Hugo called the Garcia, super chat. Yeah. Where's the tequila? Where is the tequila?
No. We Coors Light boys around here.
I can do both. I'm just saying.
PK is the captain
of Sucios
FC. PK is the captain of Sucios FC. That's a great show. If you had a diss track made about you by a pop star, you cannot see Sucios FC. In fact, Pete Davidson, probably honorary owner of Sucios FC.
I mean, wasn't there already is a Shakira? I feel like it was maybe like a premonition with Carol G, which I guess maybe if they add Becky G to that track,
you
got to
put Becky G.
We got
G
the
that.
Trio now.
Allegedly,
but like probably an absolute banger of a song.
Right.
Yeah. I'm gonna zoom
it's
in
at
on
the
Alexa.
Very least, it's a good track.
I'm going to ISO on Alexa so Christian can see you say allegedly when discussing.
Allegedly. You know, I don't want no legal problems. If anything I say you don't like, Stephen A. Smith said it. Put it back on him. Nottingham Forest, we talked a little bit about. Then we got to get to the trio that I think can possibly get relegated and bump Nottingham Forest back into staying in the Premier League, which is the trio of, unfortunately, West Ham, which we looked up, by the way. You know what the ham is short for?
Yeah.
Hamong. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, definitely
no.
Hamong.
It's Newham. It knew him. Leeds, and then, of course, I'm sorry, Christian, if you're listening, if you're watching, Everton. What an absolute struggle plate of a football club. It is just the worst. This is hot dogs on an untoasted white bread, slice of white bread. This is one of the just, why are you so bad? Sean Dyche is not fixing this. Leeds is losing.
Yeah, but like who or what does fix Everton at this point?
Bro, but they spent $500 million in the last like 3 years. You can correct me on the years.
I'm aware. So now if the money doesn't fix it and the manager doesn't fix it and the players on field aren't fixing it, how are you fixing Everton?
Why are they listening? This is really to like a
dear Christian.
Yeah, this is an intervention. We're having a Christian intervention. He ain't even here. If the fans are telling you to go out and get a manager, that means that's not the two things you don't trust: the fans and James Corden. Those are the two people you don't trust on hiring managers. And they both told you Frank Lampard. And he stinks. And they put up a sign that said, now and forever, before now. Yo, he don't love you like you love him, bro. This ain't the guy.
I want that kind of loyalty. It's just very blind and kind of dumb.
You're usually the one that's doing the loyalty. Yeah. Don't forget I'm on your close friends, Kupo. You're the one who's this loyal.
I am. I waited all day for you.
Yeah, yes. There's been times where I'm like, yo, what'd you do this weekend? And you're like, my ex called me and asked me to help him, and I didn't. I'm like, Kupo!
I've left those days
behind. Give him my number. I'll say no, bro.
You're going to have to speak to my consigliere, Alexis.
Yo, haven't you done enough?
I have, actually. My charity days.
Yes.
I've fulfilled them.
You deserve tax-free living, 501c3 life. Dead ass, Kupo. You are. I mean, it's exactly like, you know, these fans. By the way, Leeds now down 6-1.
Jeez.
So they're really getting hammered.
I'm not going to lie. I watched a few minutes of this match before I had to leave home to come here, and it was already dire.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, first five, indicating that Leeds should just stop. I genuinely felt bad, and I don't usually feel bad for an entire football side.
So, I mean, we can have this conversation now. Obviously, Leeds are not coming back in this match. It looks like they will remain at 29 points. You've got two teams at 27.
Honestly, they could end up down in the relegation zone.
I could see Leeds not surviving the drop, which then brings up the question, what happens to the young Americans that are on it? Tyler Adams injured, doesn't. I don't know if it's official, but it doesn't look like he's coming back before the end of the season. Really no reason to rush him at this point.
They just picked up Weston.
Weston McKennie.
He hasn't been there for very long.
Brendan Aronson. There's also a half Cuban, half Puerto Rican coach. Somewhere in there named Chris Armas. There's a lot of Americans in this squad.
So you're saying they're too big to fail?
Yeah.
Football side? So yes. The American bank's got to swoop in and save that side.
Bro, vibes alone. You got a Bodhi and a Guano in there?
JP Morgan, alone. I got a pitch for you.
Yeah, dude. You can, Ron. But what happens? I mean, are you worried that we can have, you know, an important Gold Cup where, look, we don't have to qualify for the next World Cup? So as Americans, the idea of having these players play in the championship is not ideal. You want them being at a big club, potentially trying to get into Champions
I want them getting a lot of reps. Yeah. I want them playing. I want the chemistry to be there and know exactly what we're doing going into 2026 before we arrive there. And I know that oftentimes, myself included, I will get a little irritated with a lot of the friendlies that get thrown on schedule. But the reality of it is we need them. We need them.
We need.
You can't just.
Do you like Nations League? Are you a Nations League fan?
I don't dislike Nations League. So I think
you're indifferent about it?
I'm not necessarily indifferent. I think that it gives us, it serves a purpose in that the smaller nations get some more attention than they otherwise would get.
Small and nations
I
think that like Canada, Mexico.
That they should get, that they would get. Out of lack of funding or otherwise, some that have like less than developed programs to go forward, right? And that could easily be fixed if we modify some of the other qualifiers for World Cup and otherwise.
Do you care about Nations League? Are you a Nations League fan, Miguelito?
I'm kind of like, I get into it at the end of the tournament, kind of like jump in on the playoffs. Kind of,
you're like, if American we're winning, sport. I'm
in. If we're doing well, I mean, I watched the final against Mexico.
You're a real America year. Kind of a guy, huh?
Yeah, man. I'm trying.
All right,
trying
cover your mouth when you cough. What are we doing here? What are we doing here, bro? You know what's been happening the last 3 years, bro? Yeah,
no, what's up?
Yeah. I'm going to cover
He's
you
like
in
Encino,
hand sanitizer.
He's like Encino, man. He just woke up and
I'm
was like, what's
going to make you bathe in hand sanitizer before you walk in here. Also, what are you smoking? Unfiltered? Jesus, that cough,
my fault,
dude.
Bro. My fault.
You sound like you've worked at an OTB your whole life. You don't even know what an OTB is, do you?
Oh, my God, I do.
Yeah, it's an off-track betting.
I was a degenerate child gambler.
Me and my friends.
If OTB is watching this, no, I wasn't. But my grandfather was way into horse racing, which shouldn't be surprising.
OTB, if you don't know, it's a commercial storefront where you could bet on, like, Costa Rican horse races. They had TVs. They had everywhere. A
and
horse
little
racing.
Tiny pencils. I don't know if this is the case anymore. When I was a kid, little me pulled up with my grandfather, and also you could smoke in there then.
Even if there would be smog above head,
and you'd just be like little meandering, and I would fill out my own little horse betting card.
Right.
I was raised well, I promise.
Yeah.
And I remember picking a horse for my grandfather that he actually bet on.
Little
for
Christine
me.
Kubo's like, this one's a mutter. Yeah. It loves green.
Poppy, you got this. Yeah. We need to bet on Dynamite Molly. Yeah. And that horse won.
Yeah.
I won him so much money. I think I'm still the favorite grandchild. Rest in peace to my grandfather. But yeah, I think.
I know OTB because if we were in the city, my friends who lived in like lower Manhattan, we'd go to OTB to see if their dads were there. Mm-hmm. And so they could borrow cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah. This sounds
fun
like
time,
very, that's
dude.
Very OTB behavior. I'm not going to lie.
OTB is
okay?
Like a kid going and getting a cigarette.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I'm hanging out all the time. That's where I got back off.
Anytime you want to go, are they still a thing?
OTB was not fun. Now it's better. Now you can do it on an app. You don't need the smoke around you. There's not some guy being like, I got a tip on a horse in a race in Costa Rica. You're like, no, you don't, dude.
Just log into DraftKings.
Yeah, you're just afraid to go home. Call your mom. Now we have
or
DraftKings.
Or you no longer have a home to go to.
Yeah,
because
you
bet away your life.
Yeah. If you're at OTB, no one calls you on Thanksgiving. That's the rules, right? By the way, Hugo Garcia put Dynamite Molly and a little horse. A little horse emoji. Omar Ramirez said, can we see someone else take the midfield 2/3 of MMA is at Leeds and it's so predictable. What they do, example Leeds. Oh, so it's super.
So Leeds,
we need some punctuation.
Leeds symptom
there.
Of Leeds equals Leeds being bad Leeds.
Right.
Is what I took from that, I think.
The Pythagoras-Jesse theorem.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm like, let's see. I can speak like three languages. I think I somehow translated that.
I got three languages, English, Spanish, and vibes.
Blangolan.
Yeah, Blangolan.
Four.
You're almost a polyglot.
That's four, dude. What are you kidding me? I should be at MIT, bro. We barely talked about the relegation, but it seems like everyone seems to think Everton is going to get relegated, which is just so hard to imagine a team that's never been relegated before. We're getting to the point where the reason they're not in the final three spots is because of goal differential. And if you're wondering what goal differential, well, Nottingham Forest and Everton are tied on points, but Nottingham Forest is in 18th as opposed to 17th because they have a minus 32 goal differential, where Everton is at minus 22. That is embarrassing. But hey, at least you're being saved by the skin of your teeth. The real question becomes, if you're the Everton front office, you have a lot to deal with this summer. Let's say you survive. Is Sean Dyche the guy you stick with? You did survive the drop, but this hasn't looked good.
Who I would entertain the idea if they had a go-forward plan with a few names that were viable.
Okay, so now what you were about to say, but you said it in a more eloquent way, which is who wants this job? And now I want to remind you that a mere months ago, years ago,
Potter. No, I'm kidding.
No, Carlo Ancelotti was the manager of this team.
Yeah,
I know.
And after him, Rafa Benitez. We have slipped from there to nobody loves you.
Is that
crazy?
Yes, but also like the fact that. First of all, I don't think that I would ever or have it in me to dismiss Don Carlo.
Never.
Ever. Like, I'd be like, hey, we could lose every single match. I'm not firing you.
Yeah.
There's no, like, I'm trusting the process.
I'd call a meeting and go, hey, this isn't going well. Do you want to be fired or not? Because if the answer is no, baby, you get the keys to the castle still. It's done. It's Don Carlo.
Who do you see being a better manager for your team if Carlo can't do it?
You said a name, and I'm, look, this may be a hot take, okay? No, I went with the suspenseful. Graham Potter needs to do something to revitalize his name. When he got in at Brighton, this was a team that was not at the place it was, and he helped build it up. What we see now is De Zerbi is obviously a much better manager and is getting more out of his players, even without, Cucurella or Cucurella, however you want to pronounce his name. But Graham Potter was still a manager that could get his team to be very well disciplined. He could still sort of get better out of players. Maybe not the best De Zerbi, clearly a much better manager. But what he did for Brighton, he may be able to do for an Everton. And if Graham Potter works, don't you get the feeling that Graham Potter is the guy who's there for the next like 5, 6, 7 years?
If you allow him to be, right? So unfortunately, I don't think that snapshot of what he managed to do at Chelsea is going to be.
Yeah, but nobody stays at Chelsea long. Chelsea for the
right.
streets.
But what I'm saying, like 6 to 7 months for a manager,
right?
Like, is
Chelsea
hardly
body count crazy. Chelsea body count crazy.
Especially Roman Abramovich era was crazy.
Yo.
It's, yeah. You know that run through.
You know that Freak Nick documentary is about to come out? And apparently there's like some very prominent women who are trying to get it stopped. Yo, Graham Potter's like, well, I mean, Chelsea's like one of them ladies who's like, hey, yo, we don't need people to know what was happening back then. You know, I'm now in government.
I'm an upstanding citizen.
Yeah, yeah. No, I changed. You can't
I'm a federal court
yeah.
judge. You're like,
you can't have me inventing twerking. You know what I mean?
The only thing that's going to save some of those, side note, the Freaknik documentary yeah. is the fact that there were not readily available cell phones and whatnot to video.
Bro,
because
you had to carry a shoulder mount.
You knew you had like a massive camera facing yeah. you, and you were just like,
you can't be a freak at Freaknik if you got
cameras coming through.
If you flip in the VHS
yeah.
the cassette, you yeah. can't be freaking. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You saw it coming, like from a mile away.
Bro, I've seen some footage from Freaknik. It was, let's just say, it made Woodstock look like a library convention.
It was a different time. It was an era, for yeah, sure, right? It was like Superhead,
yes.
like
Uncle Luke,
Video Vixen,
Dude Brown, yeah. to the ground.
When that was a thing,
I want
to
rock. Yeah. I want to rock. I want to rock.
I feel
that
like
that didn't come from.
No, I feel like
you
I feel
know,
like
sensible
that,
decision making.
That era, like, walked so that like the IG models could run mm-hmm. because that was like their successor.
Everyone who's getting flued out
yeah.
to Saudi Arabia or to Dubai,
yeah,
that's because of Freaknik.
Yeah,
you owe Freaknik quite a bit. So do all you doctors who deal in ointments, if you know what I mean.
All those antibiotic mm-hmm. scripts.
There's a reason why when mommy and daddy get stressed, they get these bumps on their lips. It's because of Freaknik.
Isn't that stress?
Yeah.
It's stress. Yeah.
Sure. Some type of stress. You got a different type of hernia. Let's talk a little bit about your favorite league, Serie A. Which, you know, for a while we were saying, like, it's done. Why are we even talking about it? Bro, Napoli.
Who was saying that? When, where, and how?
Why is this
Because it was not
chapter?
Within swinging distance of me.
No, that's true. But why is this final chapter so hard for Napoli to close, bro?
Well, I mean,
can I ask you, look, before you answer?
Yeah.
If Napoli win the Scudetto, that's a major accomplishment.
When? Yes, go ahead.
Okay, when? And they will.
And they will.
Do they also need to win Champions League?
Other reasons, yeah.
What, trying yeah. to keep Osimhen?
No, not and just Kim. Trying to keep Osimhen. It's one we've been saying, and this has been an argument for a while among just like Serie A analysts and peers and otherwise.
That Serie A is washed.
I mean, we're certainly not saying that because it's not true. But right. for people that are uninitiated, right. it gives Serie A and those sides that absolutely do deserve their shine the final bit of respect that they're owed. If they manage to do this, one, it also elevates them, the individual team, but also the league.
But
obviously,
also, won't they be
the influx of cash.
That's what I'm saying. Won't they be the kings of
yes,
Serie A? Because nobody got money.
Nobody
now
was
they
saying,
got money.
Right. Nobody was saying, I think within the last year or two, that we'd see a Serie A squad win Champions League. The timeline went anywhere, if I remember correctly, because I was keeping receipts on this, because I kind of said a couple years back, maybe we're like 3 to 5 years out from having a Serie A team winning Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I'm somewhere right now, like kind of unschedule-ish there. But if I'm being honest,
you thought it was Juventus.
It's happening much quicker than I anticipated.
No, but thought it was Napoli. Not after getting rid of Dries Martens, Dybala was gone.
The thing was, so Dybala was Juve to yeah. Roma. But I didn't necessarily think that Juve were going to be the Champions League crowning achievement for at least for these seasons. They just have had too much happening within the last 5 years to actually get it together to be able to be that side. Now, could it be an Inter? Maybe. Could have argued that, right? AC Milan? Could have argued that. Napoli came out of the gate this season and overperformed anyone's expectations and scouted properly and yielded an amazing squad. So they're in the position now to absolutely do that. They're those guys. And it's so exciting to watch because they're playing really fun football, right? It's not just your usual classical Italian ball, which was, in essence, get a bunch of high-utility players that could play anywhere and then win however you win. It wasn't necessarily the goal to score goals. It was how do we best neutralize our opponent.
Right. And this is
this is different, right?
They've so shined.
You're seeing a lot of things. And even today I was reading a story, actually, about the Napoli side saying, like, hey, yeah, we played Milan in that first leg, and obviously they lost, right?
Yeah, after losing to them in Serie A.
They've had, but also Milan have had some patchy spots in Serie A where you're like, huh, what's happening?
Yeah.
For me, Milan's performance in the league makes sense because they don't have the depth, and so essentially they're rotating through this very weird, changing the entire front four,
right,
where you're like, are you okay, guys? Like, it makes sense, but it is what it is. But one of the Napoli players had actually said, I think in the last 2 days, it was an interview, that Milan, which is smart, I'm not going to lie, okay, were sort of jockeying for those yellows and reds on Kim and Jay. And already some of the other players were like, they had a little bit of tactical approach to getting them dismissed.
The long game.
Because now them sitting for this second leg aggregate, and Milan don't have the depth that Napoli do to compete. So I'm like, if that's the case right now, it's allegedly, right? Allegedly that they were kind of trying to garner those calls. But like, you get people sent off with yellows, you get them some reds, like everything's coming up, you know, Diavoli.
I love it. You only get that in Serie A.
Oh, yeah. Serie A is so spicy, and I don't understand how people don't love it, because there's always something going on. There's just multitudes of things happening. It's our own
You've got teams getting deducted.
We've got like a
points.
Telenovela. Right. And so
what was the result of that? Did they ever decide?
It's not concluded yet. So right now, Juve are in seventh. They have taken some unnecessary losses recently that they really needed to win, especially more recently against Sassuolo.
Right, because they were competing for a Champions League spot, even with the 15-point
deduction. It's going to be really challenging at this point from seventh, where they're sitting, to get into the top four, especially if they keep performing as they are, right? But I think they're onto something in terms of some of the personnel and the way they're using people. Now, certain mistakes happen, like against Sassuolo, Fagioli, the kids, right? You're finally playing the kids, which is what we were asking for so long. And yeah, the kids are going to make errors every once in a while.
Right.
It's not life or death. But unfortunately, when you need the results, you can't be losing to Sassuolo.
So do you think Napoli can get rid of the 1-0 aggregate right now over Milan?
2-0 aggregate.
I believe it's one.
I thought it was two.
No, just one.
It's one. Okay. I do. I think that going into it, Spalletti will have a better game plan for sure. I think right now, Gio Simeone is out. Kim and Jay is out. Who else off the top of my head? Drawn a blank, probably from the crisp Coors Light. But
yes. You're so chill because it's a beer made to chill.
I'm too chill. But I do think that they can figure out how to outmaneuver Milan. Milan just, they don't have the depth. They haven't figured out, they haven't picked up essentially a Kessié replacement, which they should have from the jump. That's one of their big issues. Teo is their guy. I think as they've rotated through some of these other players, like Balotore, like...
You're not finding as much quality as
you hoped. Right, but like poor enough that... I don't think that he's a poor defender, but he doesn't have the minutes. And so when you do actually cycle him through, it's just disjointed passes and mess. The chemistry isn't there. You kind of expose more of your weaknesses by doing that. And I understand it, but it's not a good look.
So one of the things that I love about Napoli is they got rid of, Dries Mertens is gone. Koulibaly's gone. Mm-hmm. Dybala left previously, but they got rid of the spine.
You keep wanting to put Dybala on.
Was he
Napoli
never there?
No.
Who's the guy who was up top that they got rid of?
So who you're thinking of is...
Jose Callejon, maybe? He was there for a while.
No, he's at Toronto now.
Oh, Bernardo.
Insigne.
Sorry.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Thank
sorry.
Chris Porzingis.
Short guys.
I'm like, who am I missing? Insigne.
All of our short kings.
All the short kings.
They all left.
I'm so sorry.
They all left in one fell swoop, which was why most of us.
And everyone thought they were going to stink, and now they're better. So here's my point, and here's my offer to you, Christine Kupo.
Yes.
You are now not only the head of education and defense, you are now also the director of football over at Napoli, okay? You have been granted this by the Blangolin ministry.
I'll be sure to let Napoli
know. You don't win the Champions League, okay? I'm going to give you the scenario. Napoli doesn't win Champions League, but you do win the Scudetto, right? You had a wonderful season, but it looks like the players you have and the depth you have is not enough to win Champions League. So some people come knocking for some of your players. So I'm going to give you three players that are gone, right, for big value. Okay? And I'll make these numbers up. Osimhen, gone for 100 million euros. Okay? Kim, gone for 80 million euros. Zielinski, gone for 50 million euros. So now you have 50. That's 130. 230
million.
Wait,
I have to get rid of all three of them?
They're gone. You've sold them.
No, they're not.
No, this. Okay, you're coming in after this. Okay? So now you have $230 million plus the money from the Scudetto. And you have enough money to now retool to try to win Champions League. Would you take that scenario? And do you think you have $230 million is enough money to go out and get three players? Would you not be the perennial kings of Serie A with that kind of money?
So the problem with the money to talent question that we're posing here is that it's assuming that there's a one-to-one for any of those players, right?
But you did it before.
And it's risky, right?
You did it before.
Did, yes. But I would argue that Osimhen is very much a one-of-a-lifetime kind of player.
Okay? Right.
So I don't think you're going to find a one-to-one like that, much in the way that the function of, like, Kessié in the Milan side.
I didn't even get rid of Kvara. Kvara stays.
Kvara is great, right. But you still need Osimhen. Osimhen is not the same player as Kvara. Osimhen brings a lot of things to the side that you're not going to get from another player that you may not get for 150 million euro going back out, right? I would absolutely try to hold fast to him, first and foremost, for sure. I would love to see Kim stick around because I think that he's someone that we can kind of help build the defense around. Mm-hmm. I love the Napoli defense. Zielinski also special skills in that he's just very much a string puller. He really gets that midfield together and gets everything moving.
Yeah.
If I had to, of the three of them, I would probably let go Zielinski if I could get a good, good bag for him. But I don't think that I would pull from essentially all three bits of our squad to like... Now that I'm actually the head of...
You're now the head of Napoli.
I'm like, our squad, Napoli. I'm in charge of Napoli now, everybody. In case you're wondering, I'm going to get business cards printed tomorrow.
Val said, Alexis, you're thinking of Insigne. Thank you. We got there, but I didn't get a chance to read your comment early enough. Omar Ramirez said, only thing in Serie A's way of obtaining the Champions League title is a Norwegian player named Haaland.
No. So the thing is, like... A lot of these arguments are going to come up, and Haaland is otherworldly for sure. But it just means to me that you haven't been watching Napoli much. They're just, when you see a special side, you have to acknowledge it, irrespective of individual players. And like, yes, Haaland is somebody that.
But Kim got exposed a little bit playing with Napoli. Yeah. I mean, playing against Milan.
Yeah.
Do you not think that there's a chance that Haaland kind of pulls his card a little bit? And Haaland has been able to do this to everybody, so it's
yes,
not necessarily
it's
a
not,
negative.
Right. It's not. It's not an affront to Napoli's defense, right. But they've been able to lock it down. I don't think that it's an unreasonable ask. I think that they can do it. But again, Haaland is heads and shoulders, a very, very different. He's not even human. He's not even human.
I got something pretty crazy for you, Kupo.
Yes.
From our friends over at DraftKings. Going to be sprinkling in a little bit of gambling talk.
Yeah.
Later on the show.
How much money did you lose this weekend? Let's start there.
We'll talk about it tomorrow on the MLS show, bro.
Very
because
nice.
I have so many. I'm just going to talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah. Betting on MLS is not easy.
On MLS.
You got to be a real pro to bet on MLS.
Yeah. But for you, Kupo, Inter Milan is currently better value, or not better value, higher favorites to win the Champions League, courtesy of our friends at DraftKings, than Napoli is.
Now, if you don't know, Inter Milan is ahead against in the first leg of Benfica, 2-0. So they're 2-0 up on aggregate. They're up 2 on aggregate. Benfica, not as difficult a competition as playing someone you're used to playing like a Milan.
Benfica are like a sleeper side, though.
I love Portuguese Benfica.
The Portuguese sides that end up in Champions League are always lethal, and they have been known to knock out Italian sides.
Right.
So, and they've done it to Juve before. I think that you can't go into it underestimating them in any way.
Right.
I mean... Aggregate or not, Inter need to be super serious moving into it. And I do think, like, Inzaghi should be fine. He's pretty smart in dealing with Benfica, obviously, the last go-around. Granted, they've been doing fairly poorly all in Serie A.
I was going to say, like, having watched Inter a little bit, like, how can you put them, even with Napoli down 1-0 to AC Milan the first leg, I would still take Napoli money-wise over Inter to win the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, for cohesiveness, depth, and otherwise, Napoli are definitely it.
I'm scared of Inter because they just forget how to score.
Inter
for like two games
definitely
in a row.
Are just very erratic. But I think that when you do see them perform, it's kind of like that fill of the gap where you have like a very masterful manager that knows what he's doing. And that's where you see that lift. So I don't want to say that they've like suddenly pivoted to Champions League as like their crowning jewel for this season and like given up the thought of Scudetto, but everybody knows at this point, like Napoli have it on lock. So
they gotta
like,
actually do
why
it.
Why not? But yeah. Right? Like one of them can certainly pivot, and Inter have more freedom to do that than Napoli do. Yeah. If you're not gonna just like sacrifice your queen.
Yeah. Omar Ramirez said Bayern I thought would be a challenge to City, but City had a card up their sleeve, aka Upamecano.
That was a tough one.
That was rough. That was rough to watch. Jamal said, Serie A is ass. Ain't no one watching that shit.
What a hater.
Jamal doing what Jamal does. coming Jamal in, like, saying the thing no one is thinking.
Does Jamal like?
He only likes Arsenal.
Okay.
He also doesn't like us. I don't know why he's in the chat.
Listen, if you want to hate watch me, pull up a chair.
Send a super chat. We'll read more of what you want.
Send me money and I will be more repulsive.
Also, did you have the baby yet? Let us know if you have the baby in the chat. I know Jamal was expecting around the same time that Christian was, so it should be soon. Jamal, hilarious. Didn't know that sometimes two black people can have a baby that looks very white when it first comes out. And I was like, he's like, yo, you might have saved me from walling out in that delivery room. And I was like, you wouldn't be the first. A lot of my friends were like, yo, this ain't my baby. And we're all like, you gotta relax.
Ben Skolnick, Jamal is the Blangolan minister of offense.
DraftKings, we were just talking about betting. Thanks for being in the chat. Salute to you, my guys. What are the odds that Arsenal win the league?
Oh, we got the league. Hold on, let me pull it up.
I want to find out with DraftKings because I might have a boner pick with you, DraftKings.
Or you might have something to place real quick. You
just
might tell
me it's
future.
Guaranteed. And yeah. We're good.
Ooh, they are not favored anymore. +185 on the money line, but that's great value.
That is great value. What's City at?
-250. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Come on, DraftKings.
I was gonna salute you, but
You know what I like about DraftKings? Their nickname, DK, is what Dominicans say.
There you go. They're part of the show already.
Yeah, so I'm gonna start calling them D-Metal. Shouts to D-Metal, bro. Listen, this has been an absolute blast. Thank you for everyone who waited patiently for us to get on the. On the live, if you're just listening, you're getting this as usual, but everyone else waited a little bit. And for those of you who did wait, I apologize. And Mike actually also apologized. He said it'll never happen again. So you don't have to apologize anymore.
Yeah, I got you. Thank you for saying it to me. Yeah,
I would never be late. How could I be late?
That's Alexis hilarious. Was calling me. He was like, Mike, where are you?
Yeah, come on. We're all standing here talking, hanging out.
Especially me. Ugh.
Yeah. Thank you once again, so Kupo. You made a lot of adjustments to your schedule to be here. Why don't you let everyone know exactly where they can find you, where they can follow you and your music?
Sure. Thank you for the Coors Light.
Always.
First and foremost.
We're a Coors Light family here.
You can always find me on Twitter at @CKupo, on Instagram at Miss Kupo. I had to think about that. Uh-huh. See, that was the Coors Light. And you can catch me weekly also on Serie A's Digital, doing occasional host spots. Especially Calcio and Numbers and a few other bits. So tip of the hat.
Very nice. And you also appear a lot on a Serie A podcast.
Yes.
Which one
is
that?
Or at least I mean, the podcast is currently on hiatus. But, oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, the league is not, so that's not a good sign. But very, very knowledgeable, especially when it comes to Serie A stuff. And you can also catch Christine Kupo maybe crying on Saturdays as Arsenal continues to let this slip.
I hope not.
Miguelito, how we feeling?
For you guys or for me? Chelsea's
just for you.
Been,
how you feeling?
Chelsea season's been over, bro. You can't hurt
Ain't
me
Ain't nobody
anymore.
Asking you about you that dusty club, bro. It's done.
I'm feeling pretty good, except for my two MLS bets from this weekend that I'll tell you about.
We'll talk about that tomorrow. So shouts to you guys. If you haven't... started following us or listening to tomorrow's show, the Tuesday show, or you guys hear it on Wednesday. That is Shouts to Us, where we talk about Shouts to US, where we talk about all the US games that are happening. And there's a lot. There's a lot going on between MLS, NWSL is having some wild games. People, Americans abroad are having crazy games. So there's a lot to talk about tomorrow. So don't forget to hit the subscribe button, hit the follow button, hit the comment button, hit the thank you button, hit the oh my God button, hit the wow button. bro. And I'm going to hit this button.
Boom.
Thank you, guys. Love you.